Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to you and me. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about a holy harmony. I want to read from 2 Peter. This is the second letter of the Apostle Peter, 1st chapter, verses 3 to 11. His divine power, speaking, of course, of God's, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. Let me pause and emphasize that participate in the divine nature. That is almost unbelievable, isn't it? That you and I, through God's great and precious promises, can participate in His divine nature. As we read His word and pray and ask His Holy Spirit to apply that word to our hearts, we actually become participators in the nature of God. Amazing, isn't it? I'll read on. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what are these things that he's talking about? We have to make our calling and election sure, and if we do these things, we will never fall. But the things that he has just listed are faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in our Lord Jesus Christ. When my oldest grandson was about 12 or 13, which I think is a very crucial age in the life of either a boy or a girl, because they are moving from childhood into adulthood. And that was the age, you remember, at which Jesus made a break with his parents, with Joseph and Mary, and went into the temple and was confounding the scholars with his knowledge of the Old Testament. And he said, when his mother asked him why he had left them, "Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?" So I thought it was an appropriate time for me to question my grandson on what he was learning. He had joined the church when he was 12 years old. That was a formal public event. And I said, "Has that made a difference in your life? What would you say you've learned through this commitment?" And I was very surprised, and of course my heart was warmed by Walter's reply. He said, "I don't worry so much, and I feel a greater responsibility for other people." Amazing. I don't worry so much. In other words, he was finding peace in God himself and in the willingness to take responsibility for other people. The grace of unselfishness was beginning to grow in his heart. I want to ask you, is your life a holy harmony, or is it fragmented and chaotic? I'm sure you'd like it to be harmonious and peaceful. And I do believe that if Christianity is not practical, it's not Christianity. If theology makes no difference in my life from Sunday through Saturday, it has nothing to do with God. We need a vision of God's holiness. And one way to concentrate on what that means is to look at the cross. Do you remember the old hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride"? Holiness requires perfection. You and I are not perfect, and we will never be perfect until we reach heaven. But each day we can be adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge perseverance, and to perseverance self-control, and all these other things that Peter refers to in his letter. When we look at the cross, then we need to acknowledge our helplessness. As one stanza of that hymn which I just quoted puts it, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." In other words, there is nothing that I can bring in my hand. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Those are the words from another hymn. Many of the hymns show us what the cross is about, the strict requirement of God for holiness. And because God knew that we could never attain that on our own, he sent his Son to die in our place, to demonstrate for us once and for all what love is all about and what sacrifice leads to. And it was his sacrifice that provided my salvation. So I acknowledge to him that I have nothing to offer except my soul, my life, my all. And then I must ask for terms. I can't meet God's terms, so I must ask him for grace. Amazing grace! How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Are you afraid of God? It's grace that teaches you to be afraid. It's also grace that will relieve you. Then we must renounce all right to ourselves. And what a load off our backs that will be. Just give up your right to yourself. Give yourself to God. Let God look after yourself. What freedom, what emancipation, what breaking of bonds and lightness. And then we must accept all that God wants to give us. The great principle of exchange. I give him my all, and he gives me himself. I accept what God wants to give me, and I remember that the Bible says, with himself he freely gives us all things. This is the road to holiness, a vision of God's holiness, the acknowledgement of our helplessness, the need for terms, that wonderful grace, the renunciation of our right to ourselves, and the acceptance of what God wants to give us.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.